We are Reflections of His Glory. That's our team name, because that's exactly what we want to do. We want to reflect the Lord's glory. The song that we want to present first is called The Battle. Ephesians chapter 6 reminds us and teaches us that we are in a spiritual battle every day of our lives. And the enemy tries to lie and trip us up and get us to go in the wrong direction and steal our joy. But our God and Savior and Jesus Christ doesn't leave us without protection.
That's right.
He gives us spiritual armor. So the Ephesians 6 enumerates those. We just were able to teach those to kids at VBS, and it was a wonderful week. And the ladies came and presented this to them, and they were really blessed. So we want to show you just a little glimpse of the meaning of one of the patterns. Our patterns do have meanings. Mm-hmm. And so this one is all the pieces of the armor of God. So the first piece is the belt of truth. Then the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then we celebrate the victory.
Ooh. Awesome. Hallelujah.
Warriors of evil are coming our way. Prepare for the arrows of forces unseen, for this is the day. Be strong in the Lord, stand in His strength alone, for the battle is coming. Our God sits on the throne. Stand up, stand strong, from to victory, our God shall lead us on. Stand firm, lift up the cross. The armor God has given us will shield from any loss. Put on the full armor of God. Follow the banner of the Lord. Put on the full armor of God.
Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Stand up, stand strong, from victory to victory, our God shall lead us on. Stand firm, lift up the cross, the armor God has given us will shield from any loss. Put on the
rises to rejoice. Preaching or speaking or talking about or looking at 1 John. We're working through the book of 1 John, and we're not taking it verse by verse. We're just kind of taking it topic by topic as we come to it. There's a lot that I'm skipping, but there's a lot that I'm hitting as well. And so we're in John chapter 3 this morning, verses 1 through 3. But in this passage of Scripture, John is speaking of two major events in a person's life. And also, he's talking about what's in between these two events. One event is the new birth, and the second event is when we see Jesus face to face. And then in these three verses, he mentions the first, and he also mentions the last, but he also mentions what takes place in between. And so we're going to visit those subjects today. But the first, perhaps you know this first passage of 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." How many of you have heard that verse before? How many of you know the song? Wendy, would you help me? We're going to sing it. Okay. So it goes, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God, that we should be called the sons of God." Is that the one you know? You know it now. Okay. So I want everybody to sing it with me. Okay. Do you know it? No. Okay. So let's sing it together. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God, that we should be called the sons of God." How many of you have heard that before? Okay. Who would like to lead? It's actually a round. We sing it together. So one side would sing one part, another side would sing another part. Who would like to lead the one part? Miss Pitt, are you sure? You do very well. Would you? Oh, okay. All right. We're just going to do it one more time. We won't do the round. Bummer. Here we go. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God, that we should be called the sons of God." My wife knows it. Would you come help us, baby? All right. All right. So she's going to lead this section, and I'm going to lead this section. Okay, and you can start. You can start. Yeah, you can start. You can start this time. "Behold, what man." "Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God, that we should be called the sons of God." Thank you. Thank you, honey. So I want you to stand as we read the first three verses. 1 John chapter 3. Oh, and I'm going to, let me just tell you that again with, when I'm finished with this message and we have the invitation, my wife and I need to leave and go to a funeral. Okay? So we'll be, you know, so I won't be able to greet you at the back, but we've got several people who would be willing to do that. And so just let you know that. So this is out of the New American Standard Version. "To see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God, in which we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. But know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I come before you, and Lord, I just want to thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for what John has penned here. And Lord, there's some dynamic things that we need to learn as life change. And it's almost like he's preaching to me. He's preaching to us. He's teaching us the things that we need to know in order to be what we need to be. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be able to take it to heart. You minister to our souls, minister to our spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So there's two major events mentioned. First has to do with God's child. We are God's children. That word see or behold or look or wake up or listen to what I'm about to tell you. This is huge, John is saying. You are a child of God. He says, how, the Greek word how, and I didn't put it up here, is spelled P-O-P-T-A-P-O-S. I can't even spell it. And actually it means from another country. How great is the love? And so what we're talking about is the love that we don't even comprehend, a love that's beyond this country. It's a heavenly love that is bestowed upon us. Huge. We're talking about God's children and how much God loves. Sometimes we take that for granted. I know as a child, you probably learned Jesus loves me. This I know because the Bible tells me so. But how deep and how great and how fathomless is the love of God? You and I are called a child of God. And so when we received Christ, if you have received Christ, you immediately came into God's family. You became a child of God. There are two different kinds of people in the world. There's children of God, and there's children of the world. You are one or the other. You are either a child of God, or you are a child of the world. When someone surrenders their life to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into their life, and he quickens them. He makes them a child of God. The Spirit begins to live in them. They begin acting different ways. They begin doing things that they never thought they would do before. I don't want to go to church before I became a Christian. Now I want to go to church. I don't want to participate in scripture reading. Now I want to participate in scripture reading. I didn't want to pray. Now I want to pray. I want to get close to the Lord. And so when you become a Christian, there's things that change in your life. So you're either born into God's kingdom or you're not in God's kingdom. We all celebrate at the birth of a child, right? Many of you have had children, and you remember when that birth took place. You remember when the doctor said you're going to have a child, and there was celebration about the announcement and also celebration about the child that was being born. We celebrate at the birth of a child. Did you know that there's celebration in heaven at the birth of a child, one of God's children? In Luke chapter 1, 15, verse 10, it says, likewise, I say to you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. In the presence of the angels, there's joy over one sinner who repents, and a person is birthed into the kingdom of God. So I want to ask you, who do you think is rejoicing? It says in the presence of the angels. So I'm sure the angels are rejoicing. I'm sure there are other Christians involved, but let me ask you a question. Whenever a Mom and dad have a child who's rejoicing. Mom and dad. So who do you think's rejoicing in heaven? Woo! God is rejoicing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, when I was birthed into his kingdom, I think he was doing a holy dance. And the same for you. There was joy in the presence of the angels. And I'm sure the joy of the Lord, you heard about the joy of the Lord. There's no joy of the Lord if there's joy, if the Lord's not joyous. And I believe that in the presence of the angels, there's this joy that's just expanded through heaven because of God's joy over one sinner coming to him. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. There's joy. And listen, I want to ask you, are you a child of God? Either you are or you're not. In John 1:12, it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. Praise the Lord. That whosoever, whosoever, and you're whosoever. Amen. The second major event that he talks about is coming face to face with Jesus. Perhaps you watched the movie and maybe heard the song, I Can Only Imagine. I Can Only Imagine. And this song is about this young man who his dad passed away. And he sings this song in memory of his dad, I Can Only Imagine, what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel while I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you, be still. Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? Can you imagine what it's going to be like being face to face with Jesus? That's the culmination of our life here on earth. That's the culmination of us becoming a child of God. One day we will see him face to face. Either it's going to be because we've died and gone on to heaven, or either it's going to be because Jesus comes back for us. But there will come a time when we see him face to face. You know, Moses wanted to see God face to face. And he said, God, I want to see your face. God, I want to see your face. And God said, Moses, you can't see my face. Because if you see my face, you're going to die. And as Moses like, I don't care, God. I just want to see your face. I want to get closer to you. I want to know you better. I want a better relationship with you. God, I just want to see your face. And God said, Moses, you can't see my face. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to put you in a crevice of a rock. And as you are there, I'm going to pass by. You'll see the glory of my backside, but you can't see my face. Because God said, loved Moses. It wasn't time for Moses to die. But Moses wanted to see God's face. One day we're going to see the face of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Can you even imagine? Can you even imagine? And I don't know what it's going to be like either. I don't know if I'm going to dance. I don't know if I'm going to fall on my face. I don't know what it's going to be like, but I know it's going to be good. I know it's going to be good. I can't wait till that day that culminated that I see Jesus face to face. 1 John 2:28 says, and this is, again, 1 John, John's writing, just prior to the last verse before we get to chapter 3, it says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence, say confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Did you know there are some people who will be ashamed of Jesus coming? And John is telling us, listen, children, I don't want you to be ashamed when Jesus comes. I don't want you to be ashamed at his coming. And so in order to do that, there's some things that we need to do in our own personal life to prepare for that. The sermon title is Prepper. Prepper. Do you know what a prepper is? So it's a term that's used by people who, because of the world situation, they feel like that the world is going to come to an end. The world is going to go into chaotic situation, that there's going to be a lack of food, and it's going to be just a horrible place to live. And so they begin to prepare by gathering foodstuffs. And while everybody else is starving to death, they're going to be okay because they're preparing. That's a prepper. Okay. Some of you may be preppers. By the way, the Bible does teach about the end times and how horrible it's going to be. And it's okay to be a prepper in that way. But what I'm talking about is a different kind of preparation. What I'm talking about is what John is talking about, a different kind of preparation. There's a way that we need to prepare our hearts for when Jesus comes. Okay? And so all of us need to be preppers in this regard. We need to prepare our hearts for when Jesus comes. The first way we prepare our heart is to purify in verse 3 of chapter 3. 1 John, and everyone who has this hope fixed, talking about the hope of Jesus coming and the hope of seeing face to face, everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. We have a responsibility to purify ourselves. There's a passage of scripture found in, it's in Jesus's, we call it the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:8, he says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Are you familiar with that passage? So my question is, what if you're not pure in heart? What if you don't purify yourself? Will you see God? I mean, the indication is it's not. Because the indication is that blessed are the pure in heart. The ones who are pure in heart, they're the ones who will see God. And so I think that's why John is telling us, life change, prepare your heart, purify your heart, purify your heart. It's important that you purify your heart if you want to see the face of Jesus Christ. Purify your heart. Listen, a lot of people share about how they came to know Christ and how they were birthed into the kingdom, but that's the end of the story. They have nothing to share past that. And the reason is because they've not developed a relationship with Jesus Christ to the point that they're anxious about getting their heart pure before the Lord. And so here's what John says. If you're not serious about preparing your heart and purifying your heart, you're not ready to see Jesus. Your hope is not in Jesus. That's what he says there in verse 3. And so what he's encouraging us to do is to purify our heart. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, and you need to read the rest of 1 Corinthians, our 2 Corinthians, to find out the promises. Beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Say, cleanse ourselves. From all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So I want to ask you, do you ever just do a self-check? I had a kink in the hose yesterday. And I could feel that the Spirit wasn't flowing through me like he ought to be flowing, that he wants to be flowing. And so I had to get the kink out of the hose in order to be used by the Lord. And that's the way you do your self-check. You make sure you're abiding in him. We'll get to that on another week. But you need to make sure you're abiding in him, that you get the kinks out of the hose so that the Spirit can flow through you to do the work the Holy Spirit wants to do in you and through you to benefit and to help other people in their walk. Walk with Christ. Get the kink out of the hose, Lord. Just wake up in the morning, Lord, is there a kink in the hose? And did you know that he'll show you if there is? You know what he showed me? He showed me that I get in too big a rush. I I have things to do. I have a place to go, people to see.
It's like,
that's what he said. You slow down. Slow down. You know, I can't sense the Spirit when I'm in a rush. And I had, you know, things to do. But did you know that the Lord never gets in a rush? Never gets. So here's the thing you need to tell me when you see me rushing. Slow down, Pastor Brad. Just slow down. Because I get that way. That's just part of my makeup. I got to get her done. Just slow down. Take a breath. It's okay. Slow down. I'm going to share a story with you. I asked the fellow if I could share this. He said it would be okay. I told him I would not use his name. Over 20 years ago, a fellow and his wife came into my office, probably closer to 25 years ago. They were having some marital difficulties. As a matter of fact, so much so that she was getting ready to file a divorce. She had made him move out of the house. He had found another place to live with friends that gave him a room. It was a serious situation. And like I tell most couples, all couples, I guess, if you want your marriage to thrive, the first thing you got to do is put Jesus first. You've got to receive Christ as your Savior, and both of you have to start going in the direction of Jesus. If you don't do that, your marriage is liable to fall. You know what? This guy, I'm going to call him Fred, took it to heart. He gave his life to the Lord. He began walking in the Spirit. His marriage began to just blossom. A wonderful relationship. Great, wonderful marriage. 4 years ago, Fred was working, fell off a ladder, and broke his rib. And rather than turning to the Lord, he turned to the things that used to give him comfort. And I don't remember if it was meth or heroin. Both of them were his drug of choice. And for the last 4 years, he would call me periodically and cry on my shoulder because his wife left him. But when his wife left him, the drug use just began to escalate. And, you know, every time he would call, I would tell him, Jesus, Jesus. I know people get tired of me telling them that, but that's the only answer I know. Honestly, I don't know any other answers because he's the only answer. I keep telling him, and he wouldn't call for a while. Because he knew what I was going to tell him. He called me about 4 months ago and said, Brad, I'm ready to end my life. Years ago, I've got a gun. I threw some shells out in the yard. And it must be God's will because I found one of those cartridges. So I talked to him and he called me last Sunday. He said, Brad, you got to come over to my house. You got to cleanse my house because there's something weird going on in my house. So I set up a time this last Tuesday. I went over to Fred's house. He said, man, you got to go through my house. He said, I quit doing heroin 9 days ago. Quit doing meth 8 days ago. I threw away all my pot. There's nothing in the house. He said, there's nothing, no paraphernalia, anything like that. I got rid of all of it. I need you to cleanse my house. I said, Fred, not only your house needs cleansing, you need cleansing too. And so we sat down. And here's the thing about Fred. He blamed God for all his problems. And let me tell you, he told me, he said, God's not watching over me. He's not doing anything for me. I'm in debt to IRS $150,000. I spent $24,000 on drugs in the past 8 months. I hooked up with this gal and she took $60,000. It's all God's fault. And so, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but drugs, you're inviting spirits into your soul and in your being whenever you do that. And so I led Fred into a prayer of repentance. And we got rid of some garbage that was messing up his mind. And, you know, when that happened, it was like he could think clearly now. He wasn't really thinking in a jumbled mess. And so he repented. Oh, you know what he told me? He said, God wasn't helping me, and I told him to F off. I don't want to have anything more to do with you. You're not helping me. He's having a pity party. He said, and I told God Satan could do more better for me than you're doing. I'm going to let Satan take control of my life. I said, how's that working for you? It is a real story, true story. He told me, whenever I get over the shame and my name is not mud in the community anymore, I want to come and share with the church. I said, okay, I'll do that. I'll let you do that. So led him through prayer repentance. He said, I think there's a spirit in my dog too. There was no spirit in his dog. But I went through the deal, make him feel better. Yeah, great dog. He prayed repentance. That was on Tuesday. Wednesday, he called me back. Now, I said, Fred, if you will ask God to forgive you, and if you will let him back in your life to lead you, to guide you, and you start walking in the Spirit again, things will change for you. I don't know when it will change. I don't know if it will be, I don't know how many years it'll take for God to say, okay, I can trust you. He called me Wednesday. He said, Brad, there's a miracle. He left a message on voicemail and I had to call him back. I said, what's the miracle? Oh, by the way, two other things. One is, he was about to lose his home. And he told me that he was going to just let the bank have it because he couldn't afford it anymore. I just let it go back. He tried to sell his home for less than it was worth and nobody would buy it. Well, God knows how to do that. Hebrews chapter, I think it's chapter 12, that talks about God's discipline. And that's what he was doing to Fred. Just bearing down on him. Also, because of some health issues, he's almost unable to walk because of the pain in his legs and his feet and that kind of thing. So anyway, he called me and said, Pastor Brad, there's a miracle I got to share with you. So I called him back. And Fred said, I've been working with the lawyers, the IRS. My bill has gone down to $5,000. Gee whiz. Wow. He said, not only that, my sister purchased my house, and she's allowing me to pay her payments with no interest. Gee. One day. And he said, though I'm still having pain in my legs, it's not as severe as it was. And I'm like, man, is that the love of God or what? I, you know, for most of us, probably myself included, I'm going to just kind of keep bearing down a minute till he gets the message. But not with God. Repentance. He's got his peace back. He's walking in the Spirit. It's like, gee whiz, I told him, Deron, are you going to go back to drug? No, I'm never going to go back to drugs. I'm going to walk with the Lord from now on. And he accepted the fact that it was his fault, not God's fault. I mean, if somebody tells me to F off, you know, I'm more like, see you later. You know, well, that's not God. Gee, what a loving God we have. What a loving Father we have. It's just amazing to me. And John was telling us, behold how great the love of God is for his children. We don't even understand it. We don't understand that kind of love because we don't see it and we don't display it. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us. One more thing. Scripture says we need to prepare, and this is the passage of Scripture, in verse 10, of First John chapter 3, it says, "In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brethren." So the second thing the way we prepare according to John, there's a lot of other ways, but I'm just leaving you with these two. One is purify your heart. The second one is love your brothers. So, I'm going to meddle a little bit. Is there a people group you don't like? I grew up in the Deep South. I didn't hear what you said, Bryce. Tours. I grew up in the Deep South, Mississippi. There's a lot of prejudice in the Deep South. I don't know if it's African American or black. I'm not sure what it is. I don't keep up with it. There's a lot of prejudice in the Deep South. But did you know there's prejudice here in the Northwest too? Here's what I was thinking last night. So this passage of Scripture says that we're to love our brethren, right? Are we supposed to love those other cultures? Those other people that we don't like so much because of the way they do things? They're just different from us. Well, do you think in heaven it's going to be all American? Listen to what Revelation chapter 7 verse 9 says. "After this, I saw a vast crowd too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands." So did you know when you get to heaven, you're going to find Hispanics there? Did you know when you get there, you're going to see people from India there, Native Americans there, Chinese there? Well, I can't stand the Chinese. Well, listen to me. If you don't learn to love them now, here's what I think. And I can't verify it in Scripture. But I believe that if I don't like the Hispanics, God's going to make me move into their neighborhood. He's going to build my home there. Because if we don't know how to love them, that's something we got to learn. Amen. So I'm just telling you, if your heart's not right with certain groups of people, you got a surprise waiting for you. Welcome home. Here's your house. I've been planning this for you a long time. And it's because of love. It's because of love. You know, I don't know if you... I like black choirs. My gracious, when I get to heaven, that's the first place I want to go. I love to listen to those choirs because they have no inhibitions they just praise the Lord with all their heart. Praise the Lord with all their heart. I don't know. Maybe they'll let me sing in there with them. I don't know. But I love different peoples. I love different groups. I love. Did you know that God loves variety?
Yeah.
And he loves the different people groups. He created them. And I'm just saying, if you've got prejudice in your heart, there's something that you need to work out, because Scripture says if you can't love those you have seen, then you can't love God who you haven't seen. Purify your heart to prepare to meet Jesus face to face. Love your brothers and your sisters, even those you have the most difficult time loving, because you will meet Jesus face to face. So I'm going to ask you a question. If he were to come today, would you be prepared? Would you be prepared because you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And would you be prepared because you've preparing your heart? You become a prepper, preparing your heart to see him face to face. If he were to come 2 weeks from now, what would you have to do to get ready? Because it is an eventuality. It's not just a maybe one day hope screen. It is a reality. One day you will see him face to face. Are you ready? Are you ready? Did you know you could do like Fred and get ready right now? You could start a whole new trajectory in your life. From now on, I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to spend time with the Lord. And I'm going to ask him, are there any kinks in the hose that would keep me from being used by him, that would keep me from experiencing the love he has for me? Some of you have kinks in the hose this morning. I wonder if you got the kinks out of the hose like Fred did, if the Lord's blessings would come upon you. I know they would. I know they would. I know they would. And I'm not a, what do you call them, prophet preachers, you know, whatever. But I do know this. When we get our hearts right, God wants to bless us. I know that. Okay, that's just part of his, that's part of his law. So we're going to have our individuals come, our worship team. They're going to sing an invitation, and I'm inviting you, if you would, just to come forward, maybe kneel here at the altar, come forward, pray. If you need prayer, then I'm going to invite you to come. Now is the time to get your heart right with the Lord. Let's stand together as we sing.
To praise his to your name, praises to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, oh Lord, praises to your name, oh.
Jenny, if you'll come up. Some of our teachers are beginning school this week, and I want to pray for them. And next week, we'll pray for the children as they begin their time. I'm going to let Jenny share a few things with you. You're going to dismiss us with song. My wife and I are going to slip out and hopefully see you next week.
Safe travels. Mm-hmm.
So, Lord, we come before you today and just want to thank you for your presence here today. Mm-hmm. But I thank you that you can take our chaos and make good come from it. Lord, what a wonderful God you are. Lord, I do lift up our teachers to you. There are several in our church who need a blessing from you. And God, they're going to have new students this year. Getting to know them, getting to work with them. And Lord, I am just asking you to surround them with your presence and let there be just peace wherever they go. Lord, let your spirit fall upon them. And God, those who are working in public school, let those students recognize you in them, maybe not knowing what it is, but knowing there's a difference. And God, may they be able to touch in hearts and lives of these kids in school. Lord, I pray you'd give them these teachers wisdom, understanding, discernment, to know what to do, how to go about doing it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 There's a microphone right there for you, Jenny. Oh,